Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Brad Zanowski here. This is a podcast at AWOL Print Shop, Season 1, Episode 2.
Does it count? Because we're not at the shop.
I didn't know you were going to say that, but as you can already hear, my special guest is my lovely wife, Liz Zanowski, and I figured I'd bring in the loved ones for the first guest. And we're just going to talk about stuff, I guess, and see where it goes and stuff that we've experienced. And
I think we should keep it light to start off. We can keep it kind of light.
All right, we'll keep it light, but
I guess it's also 10:23 at night, so it's getting late.
But what podcast do you know that records two episodes in one day and puts it out? So I just want to push content out, as you can see. So yeah, let's get right into it, I guess. Liz, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself,
what you do? So I am originally from the South Shore of Massachusetts. Don't really talk about it a lot, but I am, kind of bounced around a little bit, Rhode Island, little tiny burb of New York, / New Jersey, Rhode Island again, Quincy. And then here, I've been in retail pretty much my whole life. I went to school for music. Don't really mention that a lot, but I know my husband likes to talk about it a lot. I am a flutist, I guess you could say, by all trade, if that's how you want to put it. But yeah, I've been in retail management and customer service for a long time. And that's really where I've learned pretty much all of my life skills.
Now, the music part, yeah, I do touch on that because I think it's unique. I think it's something that, you know, those things growing up, and I mentioned for me, sports was the thing for me that shaped who I was and one of the things, but one of the main things. And I think speaking about you, I think music was one of those things. And can you just touch a little bit more on like how, what effect it had on you growing up and what made it interesting to you? What drew you to that? What made you want to go to school for music? Because it's obviously unique and not a lot of people do it. And I think it says a lot about like you as a person, not being afraid what other people do and kind of just going about learning about what you want to learn about, I guess.
I'll be super honest and say that I basically chose music as a major for school because it's something that I, maybe not now so much because I don't really practice my craft as much, but back then, you know, through school and getting, you know, privately taught and being involved, it was something that came very easy to me and it was very natural and I didn't really have to think about it. I was just naturally very, very good. So I kind of just picked it and went with it, and I switched schools once. Well, I guess technically I went to three different. I went to UMass Amherst for a semester. Then I went to Massasoit in Brockton for a year to kind of straighten myself out because I didn't know what to do. And then that led me to Bridgewater, and I got my degree there. And, yeah, I mean, music is as something to study during your undergrad or at any professional level. It's as serious as people talk about, and it definitely had a huge impact on how I show up to life, how I deal with the public, how I deal privately. You know, it's a very independent thing, but it's also very, you know, it's for the masses, it's for the people. So it kind of taught me to be very regimented and practicing, you know, 2 to 4 hours a day, and it taught me balance.
What
obviously, like, you know, I mean, I could go on forever about it, but
you mentioned about, you know, I think you can relate, you know, even though it's two different physical things. Like, you played in an orchestra before, mm-hmm. and, you know, we can talk about that a little bit, but, like, you know, working together as a team and being synchronous, and that in itself is, like, people don't recognize how transferable those things are to real life. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, playing a team sport, for me growing up, it's like, you know, you have all these people, especially in college. I think college is the best example, because you have people from all over the country. You're trying to, you know, go after one common goal, and not everyone has the same how do you say it? Not everyone has the same agenda, so to speak.
Yeah.
You have, you know, someone who's, you know, baseball, as much as it is, you mentioned individual being, you know, for music, baseball is an individual sport too as well. You know, you're trying to, you know, boost your batting average, your stats and whatnot, but also it's a team sport. I think you can say and relate a lot of those things to music too as well. You know, you have an individual thing where you're playing your own instrument, but also, you know, when you're playing with other people, you have to be conscious of that in itself.
Yeah. I mean, you're thinking about a lot of things when you're performing for people, because you have to represent the composer that created that piece of music for you, and try to understand, you know, what so-and-so was thinking and some 1700 or 1600, you know, period of whatever. So you take all that off of sheet music and try to translate that through your instrument in the modern day with your touches, and try to give that to an audience or even just a group of judges. And you need to represent yourself independently, but, you know, on a performance level, if you're doing something solistically, you're involving everyone, you know, whether it's just random people or public or whatever. And then, you know, obviously once you're in an ensemble, you know, whether it's a band or a small group or an orchestra, you have to be able to play as one instrument. Music definitely kicked my ass. Like, it kicked my ass to the point that I don't do it much more, as much as you'd like me to. But I think, like, once we move, there's definitely an opportunity for me to get back into it, just because I'll be closer to that local symphony I used to play in. So I think for a long time, I was very embarrassed and resentful and, like, ashamed and weird about, like, the fact that I never followed through on things. And, like, with anything, you go through all these emotions, and I think finally I'm at a place where it's just kind of, like, really fun and weird and unique that I can play this weird piece of metal and kind of sound good on it. So now I can do it and really, really enjoy it as an adult and feel, you know, genuine about it, rather than picking it up and having it be work. Because it does, you know, going to school for something like that, whether it's music, performance, music education, art, any sort of art, it really is true. Eventually your hobby does become a job. And for me, it did burn me out. But, you know, it's a beautiful thing that I have. And I definitely know that it needs to be passed down, you know, whether or not we have kids someday, or, you know, just to other people that are around me, you know, friends and family and friends that I've met in different parts of my life that don't even know that about me, you know? I don't talk about that a lot. And every time you want to bring it up, I'm always, like, super, like, awkward about it, because you want me to, like, go sing in some weird, like, I don't know, in the middle of the streets or something.
Yeah, because I think you have a great voice.
Thank you.
But anyways, so one thing you just mentioned that kind of caught my ear was the fact that it caught my ear that you mentioned it got to a point where it was a job and the passion wasn't there anymore. And I think that's a key point to take away from this, is that, you know, for me, in my job, my professional life, would be you, and also, you know, the screen printing thing. Like, it's, you can look at it as a job, but I try to focus on kind of the process and the things that go on in that and what I'm learning, and try to enjoy that. And for you, I think maybe you lost that a little bit.
Oh, I definitely did. I know for a fact, you know, more now, because I feel somehow more conscious at 32, but I can definitely reflect back on all of my years and say that, like, I wasn't mature enough to handle what was going on from finishing my undergrad to, you know, the next step. You know, not for nothing, you know, I was like the first one to get a job and to get a car and to get a license and everything out of all my friends growing up. So I really just wanted to work and make money. And I think a lot of kids want to do that out of college. And I had worked retail through college, and I got a job with Nordstrom. And that's, like, you know, anyone that knows me, that's all I ever talk about is when I was a Nordy. And I love that. And that's just kind of the path that I took. You know, when I got out of school, I chose to let go and say, you know what, this isn't fun for me anymore, and make that decision and say, I don't want to do this right now. Maybe I'll revisit it. And I went to work, and I worked at Nordstrom, and that's where, you know, my retail career took off, and my service career and styling and being in fashion retail. So I definitely don't regret it, but I know that I was definitely weak and vulnerable at that stage in my life. You know, whereas, like, someone like you, you probably got pushed to the limit, and, like, you know, during high school and playing baseball, you were able to take that and transfer it and say, no, I'm going to push through this because I know this sucks, but I love this. You know, I don't think that I had the love for it at that age during that time, because, you know, I'm a little shit. So are you surprised?
We're trying to keep this family friendly, so if you could refrain from the bad language, please. Thank you. No, I think that's great that you can reflect on that now that you're, you know, older and wiser. And
easy,
I'm just, you know what I mean.
I don't think you need to talk that close into it.
By the way, we're bare bones here. We have a phone. We're talking into a phone here. So this is
like early stages.
This is early stages.
In our apartment,
this is,
there's like nothing in here right now except some plants, yeah, and like boxes. Looks mad sad.
Yeah, as Liz mentioned, we are moving to Quincy, Massachusetts.
What up, Quincy Center?
All right, let's bring it back a little bit. Let's bring it back a little bit to... Let's bring it back a little bit to kind of, I know this isn't like going to be, oh, this is how we met, this is da da da.
We're not doing that.
But one of the things that I think shapes our identity and who we are, and one of the most common things, well, one of the things that we have most in common is that the fact we were both adopted from Korea. And
no, we didn't meet at like some adoption group for Korean kids in Boston. We met out in nature.
Thank you for making that clear. No, so I think that's obviously something that we both share in common, that we kind of talk about a little bit, and yeah, I think it shapes who we are, and I think there's something that we're both proud of.
Totally.
And
it's a big deal.
Makes it unique. And
yeah, definitely. Sorry, I don't mean to like jump on this already, but like, especially in the days, like dating now in 2020, like I have probably more than you, I have way more friends that are single and that are like on the older side, I guess you would say, as society would say. And dating is like so weird. It's the weirdest it's ever been. And even before I met you, I was, you know, I did a little online dating, and from 5 years ago, I know it's even harder and weirder and worse or good. I don't know, but it's weird. So I love being able to talk about the fact that, you know, we met out in nature. Like, we found love in the club.
I was like, yo, what up, girl? What's your name? What's your sign?
That did not happen. I mean, maybe it happened. It was like midnight. No, it was like 1 o'clock at Bijou.
Bijou, what up? What up, Walid?
Shout out to Bijou.
Yeah, I mean, it was something that was... kind of connected us right away, and Not to go into too much detail how we met again, but I think it's important to, I guess,
yeah,
people,
you, like, sized me up on my last name.
Yeah.
Like, not for nothing, we were trashed at 1:30 in the morning, and you found a way to, like, size me up about my last name. And then you told me in the club that your last name was Zanowski, and I was like, what?
And that's not me. Everyone, all my homies out there, my friends that grew up with, they know I don't really kick game when I go out.
You don't but, kick game?
Yeah, I don't kick game to females, but I guess that night something caught my eye.
It was a shaved head. Shout out to Racine, Christy Medrano, congratulations on your wedding. Those are my homegirls that took me out that night. Definitely, like,
Racine Bell.
Definitely wouldn't have gone. I didn't want to go out that night. I'll tell you that. Like, I mean, I know Brad said we didn't want to go into detail, but
you just can't help yourself talking about it, right?
Yeah, I just love it. And I love you, and I love us, and I love that story because it really happened. And I remember it like it was yesterday because I was on like a 7-day friggin' binge of going out because I'm a Scorpio and all my friends are Scorpios. So it was a Scorpio turn up. And I was like, yo, Racine, I can't go out. Like, I can't do this. And she's like, come on. Chrissy's coming to town. We gotta go out. So then, you know, we do shots at...
All right, I'm going to cut you off there. So let's bring it back to some... I don't want to say that wasn't useful. I'm happy to talk about that.
I think it would have been a good story, but if you just want to, like, make this about work, then fine.
It's not work, but... I guess...
The story is that you can still meet people out at the club, so...
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
I want to bring it back and talk about... I guess identity. Like, growing up, not to get too deep, but like growing up and being adopted, and, you know, we always, you know, we go out to dinner and you always get the looks and you don't realize and you don't even think it's anything growing up. But.
Oh, are you talking like going out when you're little?
Yeah, when you were growing up and for me, and I know you might feel a little bit differently, and we don't need to get into that, but for me, we'll get into it.
Now I'm saying I didn't want it to get heavy, but damn, it was getting heavy. I was trying to talk about our
story. Oh, you got that drink in your hand. And
that's easy. Yeah, easy. Okay. This is like my second all right, one.
Yeah. So I guess for me, like growing up is growing up being adopted, and you just... I was fortunate enough to have a family that was like, you never thought twice about like how you looked compared to them. And not just my immediate family, but also my cousins and, you know, cousins' cousins and my grandmother and my grandfather. That is so important for someone like growing up, especially being, you know, I don't want to go back into being adopted and be like, oh, poor me, da da da, but...
No, we're
trying to help
you.
People
no,
here.
No, yeah. For you. You're just talking about.
We're just trying to help people.
Being international.
And talk about stuff, you know. But, yeah, I guess that's a big thing. Like, if I didn't have that, and you can imagine like how difficult that may be for someone else. And I'm sure there's plenty of other stories about kids that have been adopted, and have trouble finding their identity because. They didn't have that. They didn't have that security about having...
I know people like that. And I'm not referring to myself because, listen, I have my own identity issues. But, I mean, we all do. But I have friends that are adoptees that 100% have, you know, really difficult issues with their identity that, you know, they still haven't been able to figure out. So it's real. It's very real.
Yeah, it's one of those things where just like anything in life, it's like you go through something and you're not able to reflect on it back then because you're so young. But now that you've experienced more things and you're older and wiser, as I said earlier, meeting myself, not my wife, you're able to reflect on those things a little bit more and realize how fortunate you are and what you have. You look at all the stuff that's going on, especially today, and you're like, wow, you know, I guess I want to talk about the...
What are you...
I guess I'm going on a tangent. It's like just overall reflection on just life. Like, let's talk about Kobe Bryant. Like, that thing happened.
Oh, my God. Like...
Yeah, because we can do that because we're having a podcast, so we can do that. So. If people want to listen or shut it off, so be it. Respect that. Yeah. But...
Damn, I thought I was about to talk about myself, but we're talking about Kobe. Okay.
Well, we can relate that to yourself. Don't want to talk about myself. We can relate that to yourself. So, Kobe Bryant, like, I'm a hardcore Boston fan. You're not so much because you're not really a sports person.
No, don't say that I'm not a fan.
I'm sorry.
I am not like an avid sports. I'm not a sports enthusiast. Does that mean I'm not going to go to a party to watch the game? And, like, does that mean that I don't know what's important and, like, culturally relevant? No, I totally get that. Like, I know, like, Tom Brady and, like, Nomar Garciaparra on the Red Sox. Like,
you didn't just say Nomar Garciaparra, did you?
No, I'm serious. But, no, I know what's going on. I live in Boston. Like, I'm a masshole. Like, hello. But yes, you are right. Like, any Joe Schmo, I don't really care about what's going on mostly with athletes and ESPN, but I will say that shit with Kobe, like, that was very sad. It was very, very sad. And when you told me about that, it was the whole thing was awful. The whole thing is awful for yeah. him. I mean, you know, the way that it was handled, but like just the fact that like those people died on the helicopter, it was just really sudden. And it just, everybody's been talking about and reeling from that day and, you know, just very reflective about like life and people are trying to change things. And I love that. And I really hope people mean it. And I think for that day, like for us, when we were kind of sitting here watching that, you know, I definitely had like sort of a pit in my stomach about like, you know, all those things that you worry about, those day-to-day things, like, am I going to get this job? Am I going to get this promotion? Do I need to make more money? You know, do I need to go buy this thing or get this thing or my hair or my skin or anything? Like, that stuff mostly literally doesn't matter. Can we indulge in it? Hell yeah. Because as you got to know, I fucking love indulging in stuff and in myself and taking care of myself. But, you know, life is not to sound cliche, but it is incredibly precious. And that one moment, like that event with Kobe and his family and those families involved, I don't know, it just like struck a chord with me. And it was probably the media, because the media is like just pushing all this content out and like making us feel sad. But it just, you know, Kobe was very young, he died very tragically, and children were involved, and it definitely just struck a chord in me personally. And I don't really care for sports, you know. I didn't even know that he like was retired, and he's like what, 40?
Yeah.
How old is he?
40 years old. 40.
I mean, I had no idea, but it was so upsetting, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I feel that was really, it was really impactful for me that day, yeah. I guess. And it still has been, and it's still kind of sticking with me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still reeling from Anthony Bourdain's death. Not that that's the same thing at all, but, you know.
Yeah, you know what? What's weird? I was just thinking about that.
Well, yeah, because we're thinking about people like celebrity deaths and like what that means to you. And I'm always like, how do those people care about that people dying or whatever? Like, why? Who cares what that person died? But you realize you grew up with these people, and especially, you know, you and your connection with Anthony. And then we went to go see him. You know, I felt like I knew him. And when we woke up that day and you told me, I thought somebody like in my family died. Like, yeah. It's crazy the connection you build with people. Just watching them on TV and, you know, seeing them, you know, become successful. And, you know, not for nothing, when they're really good people, you know, Anthony wasn't necessarily a good person for a lot of his younger years, but he turned into, like, what I think and what a lot of his fans think was a beautiful person who was dedicated to food and culture, very much culture, and loving that and sharing the world. And so when... You know, and Kobe, with all of his accomplishments and successes and giving back, when people die tragic like that, it really hits you. It's crazy.
So it's weird that we're talking about it. Well, I was thinking about Anthony too as well. So let's make it a lighter, let's lighten the mood a little bit and talk about something else. But Anthony Bourdain is, you know, shout out to the real AB.
Who's the real AB? Yeah. Antonio Brown?
No. Anthony Bourdain is the real AB. Oh. Screw AB.
Antonio Brown's in a completely different direction.
So we obviously thought we had a connection with him. Our passion for food was kind of the... Yeah, we both are. And I think that's, you know, one of the things that we... If you could name three things, or the top three things that we enjoyed doing together, it would be, you know, eating or food, the passion for food, whether it be cooking it or, you know, watching it on TV or going to restaurants, trying new places, seeking out new places.
And I will say, like, not to, you know, sound like hoity-toity, but when, you know, I think, you know, when the connection that you and I have about food, it's not just like, I don't know. I'd like to think that it's not a basic food connection. Like, listen, everybody loves, you all love to eat. We all love to eat. Everybody loves food. You know, most people like to cook. Most people like to watch Food Network and all that shit. But I don't know, when we met and the food that we eat and how we talk about it and how it brings us together, to me, is very unique and special. And it goes very deep, where we share these really intense experiences. You know, I think back to Charleston recently, like, you know, that's where I feel like you and I really differ. You know, we're not just going to, you know, no offense, but whatever, this is our podcast. I'm not just going to, like...
Oh, it's our podcast now.
Oh, shit.
Keep going.
We're not just, like, going to Olive Garden and be like, oh, we're going to eat this, like, spaghetti meatballs together. I mean, but would I eat spaghetti meatballs there? Hell yeah. Like, I'd love Zuppa Toscana. But I don't know. I like to think that it's, like, very deep. It's not just like, oh, me and Brad like going to the movies and eating popcorn or like eating food. I don't know. I just need to like say that.
Yeah, I think it...
Because it's not like some basic thing. We're not just like eating...
It's not... I don't disagree with you. I think it's more... But I think it's more on the level of like the appreciation.
Yeah, there's like an appreciation and respect. And there's like... I think there's... There's conversations. Like, we have conversations. You and I have shared meals together, whether it's something that you've cooked for me, which is mostly what's happening, or what I can think of, or what I recall most, is when we go somewhere, it's like a really nice restaurant, or even just like whatever it is, we, you know, somewhere special, and we share a dish, and we're both like, holy shit, that just like changed my life. Like, we have literally shared in that. And I've never done that. You know, I come from small potatoes, so being able to go to some nice restaurant in town or, you know, in a different state, somewhere beautiful, you know, being able to, like, eat something and be like, wow, that just, like, blew my mind. You know, that just made me feel like I was on drugs and I don't even know what it's like to be on drugs. That I have literally said to you, that just, like, really changed my life.
Life-changing event. Seriously. You could put that on your taxes, a life-changing event.
Absolutely.
Yeah, food's it's a magical thing, and we nerd out about food a lot, and it's one of our passions.
What did we just have tonight?
We're gonna.
You just made a new dish.
Yeah, I mean.
Your crispy mince.
So the thing about it's all coming back in full circle with terms of like the artistic side of us, in food and. For me, I'm a visual person. So if I...
Oh, are you?
If I see something, I can either draw it or for me, if I watch, I you know... For example, if we watch Gordon Ramsay on YouTube and he's cooking something and I see him visually cook it, I can recreate it in some way. That's the great thing about cooking is that you don't need... You know, you have all these cookbooks, and some people more, you know, by the book.
Whereas I
by the book, no pun intended, but
God, you're like your father. No, but whereas I kind of feel, I think it's definitely tough reading a recipe and like trying to do it at the same time, especially when you're drinking. But I would prefer reading out of a cookbook than watching something. I don't know what that speaks to, like what trait, left brain, right brain. Middle brain, frontal lobe, periodontal, Is that something? No.
Okay. Yeah, but the for me, I enjoy that side that the ability to like just make stuff up as you go, you know.
I don't when I cook.
Right, that's fine. That's fine. But
I need to be like, all right. You know, when you cook your vegetables, light to dark. Like I follow those rules, like the way I chop and I cut and.
You'd be a good baker. You are a good baker. I think that's the reason why is that you.
I want to be more precise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like. I do better, and I know I do. That's actually a really great point. I don't bake, but when I do bake, it does come out delicious, and that probably it definitely speaks to my my characteristics of being comfortable following the rules. So like at work, when I'm tasked with something or when I need to task myself or others, I do very well with like, okay, well, it needs to be this way, this way, this way. Okay, perfect. Tell me what to do. I'm going to do it. Like set the window up this way. I'm going to do it that way. Perfect. I want to be able to measure one cup and a half a cup. Sometimes when I'm cooking, like randomly, I'm too worried about like, oh, did that seasoning, like I didn't season enough. You know, there's never enough salt. Or not now. Now there's too much salt.
Too much salt. We might not make it to the next podcast because we...
You have diabetes?
Diabetes.
Wait, do you get diabetes from salt? No. Well, you can get diabetes from genetics.
It's not good for you. Anyways. All comes back to food.
Does Wilfred Brimley still have diabetes?
Maybe. So, food. Yeah.
I feel kind of bad if he does.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff we can talk about between me and you because, you know, I think we could go on and on. We could really make like a 5-hour podcast if we wanted to. But
I mean, I could talk like literally forever.
Yeah.
That's all I do is my job is just talking.
But I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day at home.
Yeah, it's really
to join me on this podcast. Yeah, I think we touched on some, you know, I think I'm going to close the loop here, but I think we talked about some great stuff and it may be boring, but it definitely is good to talk about these things. And this is kind of the whole reason why I started this podcast is to create a platform just to talk.
I know you just started it like 10
today. This is the second episode, two episodes in one day.
I know you just want to make sure you're not doing it too much.
No, that's my idea is we want to push out content.
I know, but you can't just like push out like 10 episodes a day. That's
no, we're not. I wish I could.
Nobody cares about you that much.
They don't. And that's not, I mean.
But do they? Because that's how everybody feels when they do a podcast. And all of a sudden, you want to listen to more.
Right, but that's the idea is like to, it's not, so here's the thing. We talked about this today after the first episode of 10 minutes of exciting I Am Brad, who I am, what I am, what I do.
And that wasn't even all of you. I mean, you still have a long way to go.
No, and we'll get into that. And then we have some exciting guests coming up. And
who do we have coming up?
Some, you know, we have a professional clothier, Jen's Playbook. Shout out to Tom Hodgetelli.
Oh, snap.
We have Spiros from Easy Pie.
Spiros. We love Easy Pie.
One of my idols. The hardest working man in the business. He is
ambitious.
My boy Matt Maurizio. Zio.
Matt Maurizio?
Yeah. Fellow Walt and Mike from The Ham. Kid has 5 kids. He does more than I do in like 2 hours. Family. Crazy. So we have a lot of other content coming up and hopefully you tune in for that. And yeah, we're just, like I said, this is not like a curated thing where we're like, oh, this is going to focus on food and music and art and all that weird stuff, but we'll talk about.
Sometimes I feel like we're going to have to because, I mean, I guess this is where you and I differ in the podcasting. I don't necessarily want to listen to people just like ramble on and on and on and on.
Well, people like you and me that aren't interesting, but like people that are more interesting.
No, I'm saying, no, but even like with celebrities that we listen to, I don't want to hear people just ramble on and on and on and on and on. I definitely want to hear like, you know, is this podcast going to have subjects that are highlighted? It's not just like, obviously rambling on and on, you're going to touch upon different subjects, but like, I feel like there should be some sort of like, you know, main point or something.
Noted.
I don't know, it's just me. But this isn't my podcast, so.
You said it was your podcast before, but.
Yeah, what's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine. What's mine is mine, what's yours is mine.
We'll end on that note. All right, folks. Thanks for tuning in.
Later.
Episode 2, Season 1, a podcast at AWOL Print Shop. Hope you're tuning into the next episode. Hope you have a good night.